This year is the fifth year that we've been speaking on Parshas Korach, and of course the story seems to be familiar, and as we will discover, nevertheless, there are a number of nuances in regards to the entire rebellion, for want of a better word, and also towards the end of the shiur, a number of items will emerge which, for me at least, were certainly, to put it mildly, earth-shattering. So let's begin then with the beginning of the Sidra, the revolt of Korach. Exactly what does Korach want to achieve? Well, in regards to what his aims are, we consult the Ramban at the very end of his opening section to the Parsha. That is the Ramban beginning by Yikach Korach, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Aleph. I'll read it out, it may take a little time to find. He writes as follows, V'akolov. What appears to be most likely is the following. Ki hoyu eile hanikolim, that all those who gathered together with Korach, kulam v'chodos, they were all firstborn. Dothan, Abiram, On, and the 250. Ki alkein choram lohem alakehuna. And that is why all of them assembled, because they were most jealous of the fact that service, avoda, has been removed from the Bechoros and given over to the Kohanim. V'lokach omar lohem Moshe, and that is why Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted to attest who is right and who is wrong, that is why he said to them, sheyikachum machtos kimin hagom horishon, that they should indeed take the pans on which the incense is to be offered, as originally the Bechoros did, the Yisgale Hadovor, and the matter will be reconciled, resolved, im yibchar Hashem kohem, ova kohanim, if Hashem will choose them, or the kohanim. So their particular gripe, for want of a better expression, is the fact that they are all Bechoros, says the Ramban, and they want to have the avoda returned to them, removed from the kohanim. Now that's the simple part. What is not so easy to understand, and it is a problem which we have looked at on occasion, is the following. We know, and we've looked at it in the Sefer HaChinuch in our shiur prior to Shavuos, that part of the revelation on Har Sinai was not only, and I use the words advisedly in this connection, not only that the Bnei Yisrael should have the opportunity of hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uveyatzmo, Onochi v'lo yiyelach mipi ha'gvur eshmanu, not only that Bnei Yisrael should have the opportunity of hearing Hashem announce the first two Dibros, but what was equally important was the fact that there should be no doubt in anybody's minds after the revelation at Har Sinai regarding the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. That was a part and parcel of the entire revelation. V'gam b'chol ya'aminu li'olam. This is to be one of the pillars on which Ma'amat Har Sinai stands. If indeed this is part of what Ma'amat Har Sinai gave to the Bnei Yisrael, then how is it possible that people can come together and suggest that what Moshe Rabbeinu has done in appointing Kohanim in place of the Bechoros is personal whim, and no direction whatsoever from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is quite impossible to understand. We brought this question by the Gehillas Yankov, based on a statement in the Igeres Taimon of the Rambam, but the question is always the same. How could people genuinely believe, after having themselves personally attested to the authenticity of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, how can Bnei Yisrael come together and listen to someone or people suggest that what Moshe Rabbeinu has done, he has done of his own accord? And I came across this year a new volume which arrived in my library, and that is a volume of Ma'amorim by the Hebron Rosh Hashiva, Reb Simcha Zissel Brody. And it is a most beautiful volume. And what I've taken out of it is the main thesis that he presents, and you'll find it in Gemara and Tosfos. Again, the question, how come that Bnei Yisrael are convinced that what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing is, in fact, off his own bat? And Reb Simcha Zissel referred us to a Gemara in Gemara Shabbos, and then to a Tosfos. The Gemara reads as follows. Tanya, we have learned in a Braisa, right? That is a source which is outside the Mishnah, but of the Mishnaic period. And the Braisa reads, Gimel Devarim Oso Moshe Midato. There were three items which Moshe Rabbeinu initiated of his own accord, V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. And then, subsequently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed that is what should be done. Number one, Hosif Yom Echad Midato. Whereas the Torah had indicated to us in Parshat Yisro that Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, Heyu nechonim l'shloshes yomim, prepare yourself for the third day, Moshe Rabbeinu added on an extra day, and Mount Harsinai occurred a day later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking with him. But it was his own initiative. U'pireish mino isha. He separated himself from his wife. That, of course, was the famous episode at the end of Parshas Baal Osecha, right? That was of his own accord, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim, and thirdly, v'shiveir es haluchos, he smashed the two tablets of stone. This he did of his own accord, and it was only afterwards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Asher shibarto, yiyashakoach asher shibarto. Says the Tosfos, v'im tomar, and if you will ask, Minolon, how do we know Depiresh Moshe Midato Kodim? How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who initiated these moves? And only Beshuv Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al-Yodo, and only subsequently did HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirm? Semo Zehu Tzivu Igomur Shetzivon Olif Rosh? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally commanded him to separate himself from his wife. How do we know that he was the one who initiated the separation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu merely confirmed it? Says the Tosfos, V'tireitz Rabbi Notam answers, De'imi sodamach mas tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu pireitz velo midato. If you were to assume that separating himself from his wife came about as a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heich hoya me'arer Aharon u'Miriam, then how would Aaron and Miriam have the chutzpah to complain about something which he is doing in conformity with divine command? Tichisiv, and we know that they did speak, because the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Baalusav, but to daver Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. Hello, if indeed they did speak about it, and they spoke disparagingly about it, is vaday mitechila tireish mimeno legamrei Moshe bidato. So therefore you can rest assured that initially it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, you'll say to me, says Tosfos, but all right, naniach, as they say in the vernacular. So it came about initially through his initiative. But at the end of the day, this is an initiative which was confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how can they speak against it? Yisriyafalgav, dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yodo. And even though subsequently HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed this move, Mikomokum Nisra'am Hu'olov, nevertheless, Aharon and Miriam did complain against him. Why? Lefi She'ilu lo Piresh Midato. No, hoyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim. Because had you not made the first move, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done anything. You went ahead and separated yourself from your wife. Had you not separated yourself from your wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done. So therefore we are asking you, why initially did you do such a thing? We know now it can't be changed. But why did you do it to begin with? To v'derech she'odem ho'leich bo molichino, so a very well-known maxim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always guides a person in the way that he and anyone wants to go. She'harei li'ahadu n'miriam lo'amar l'frosh. Because they are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never told us to separate ourselves from our partners, afolgav shigami mohem hi'oyim edaber, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with us. So therefore, the initiative was from you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim, but we are complaining against you. Why did you even initiate such a proceeding? Says Reb Simcha Zissel Brody, we see here a particular phenomenon in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is that there are certain moves which he initiated, And the rabbis confirm that he initiated these moves. And as the Tosfos points out, it could very well be that without these moves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left as is. But he went ahead and initiated these moves, whether he broke the lukos, separated from his wife, added on an extra day. But at the end of the day, the initiation was through Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the confirmation came about from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'yatzlo. Says Reb Simcha Zissel Brody, Torah and his gathering are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have absolutely no doubt in our mind that what you are doing now is a result of divine command. But we are suggesting that it was because of your own selfish and subjective motives that you initiated this move of appointing your brother a Kohen Gadol and his children Kohanim and your tribe Leviim and giving them all the quote-unquote plum jobs. You initiated it, and afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed. And in the same sense as Tosfos is putting the words into Aaron and Miriam's mouths, had you not initiated it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done nothing. We are suggesting to you likewise that had you not initiated it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left it alone, and therefore we blame you for having initiated this move, which was selfish and totally unwarranted. So therefore, says Ibsen Kisisu, if you are asking how is it possible for those who saw Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai and experienced the authenticity of his nevuah, how could they possibly doubt that what he was saying was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he said it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is yes. They believed it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they believed that the order was somewhat different. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu listened. It was rather Moshe Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. That's what they feel was wrong in all these appointments. Now let us move on, because this is a very, very, very fascinating item here. Now we can understand, and let's take on one or two psukim which become very meaningful. Let's take Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Kapchet. Vayomer Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing to announce the miracle, if God didn't send me, then they will die ordinary death. If Hashem did send me, then they will die an extraordinary death. Of course, first of all, we've got to have the kasha. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send me, so why don't they deserve to die at all? That's a good kasha. And the answer, of course, say the rabbis, is because for fomenting machlokas, even if you're in the right, of which we will speak later. But let's go. Those are the words, as Reb Simcha Zissel. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I want you to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. So why does he need that? Go on and say, Kilo Milibi, it wasn't mine. Call it the way Reb Simcha Zissel learned it by Kedivis. You should know, Ki Hashem Shilachani. Hashem sent me. Ah, you'll say to me, but he only sent me after I had initiated it myself. You should know, ki lo mi li bi. My heart is not involved in it whatsoever. The Chagayin is done. Hashem shalach ani lasas kol matim u'ele. Hashem sent me. Ah, you'll say to me, he only gave it as a confirmation after it had been initiated by me. The answer is no, ki lo mi. But unfortunately, as we know, this particular episode did not still the disquiet amongst the Bnei Yisrael until the episode of the Matos. And here I want to draw your attention to something most magnificent. And that is, when we come to the episode of the Matos, let's take it on Perek Yud Zayin. We'll see here a subtlety which is absolutely masterful. According to Reb Simcha Zissel, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to explain to the Bnei Yisrael that whereas the rumor is that he initiated and HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed, he wants to try and uproot that feeling from amongst the Bnei Yisrael that the entire initiation of the Kohanim came about solely through the agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can he do that? How does he do that? He does it with the matos. Why? Because they start to flower and blossom. That's a bigger miracle than the earth opening. The answer is as follows. Pasuk Kaf, Perek Yud Zayin. V'hoya ho'im asher evchar bo mateyu yibroch. The one whom I will choose, his staff will begin to blossom. And through that, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you who is the true one, because his matter is going to blossom. Matteyu Yifroch. Now what happened? Peposu Kaptim. Vayehi mimacharos vayavo Moshe el ohel hoedus. And behold, on the next day they came to the ohel. Vihine porach matei Aharon, and indeed the matei of Aharon blossomed. Vayotse perech, it brought forth blossom. Vayotse seeds, and it started to bud. Vayiglol shekatim, and almonds had grown on it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only confirming what Moshe Rabbeinu wants. Then all that Moshe Rabbeinu announced in this regard was that the matter should blossom. But that's not all that happened. It blossomed. It brought forth buds. It started to grow almonds. That was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing the Bnei Yisrael that in this regard it is not an instance of Moshe Rabbeinu initiating and HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirming. Because if that was all that it would be, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have confirmed only by the blossoming of the star, not by the buds and not by the young. So that is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirms to the Bnei Yisrael that the initiation of Kohanim into the priesthood was not done as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's initiative, but this is what Kach also machshavah upon I. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Let us move on now to one or two other items in regards to the Adas Korach. Let's move back again to the beginning of the Sidra, because there is a most profound observation which is made by the Netziv, and it is in regard to the Pasuk Beis. Let us never for one moment discount the extraordinary qualities of this man, Korach. I mentioned before, and worthwhile mentioning again, the Kotzkareva used to refer to Korach as the Heilige Zeder. A very extraordinary personality. And we will see his strength of personality, his charisma, we will see it from the observation of the Netziv on Pasuk Beis. So there's Korach, there's Dothan, Aviram, and Ohn ben Peles. Vayokumu lifnei Moshe, and they rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'anoshim mibnei Yisrael chamishim u'mosayim, together with 250 men. Who are these people? Anishkotzim, Nisiei Eda, Kiriei Moed, Anshei Shein. Have a look at the Hamikdavar. What do these titles represent? Nisiei Eda. Says the Hamikdavar, Nisiei Eda means Manhige Hador. They were the leaders of the generation. Shiriei Moed, they are people who are called for occasion. Meaning, Sheyoshvu Ad Ko Im Moshe V'Aharon. They were the men who sat together with Moshe and Aharon B'chol Moed, on every occasion, Shenidrash Le'etzav Esushio, when the people needed advice. So these were people who are Manhigi Hador, and they are people who sit together with Moshe Rabbeinu on all occasions of importance. And they are Anshei Shein. Now what are Anshei Shein? Says the Netziv, Mashmo'o B'shnei Ofanim. These words can be understood in two ways. Either Mefursamim B'shem Li Anshei Ma'ala, meaning men of an outstanding name, in other words, men of repute. Or Beis, it can mean either Anshei Maisa Tov, men of good deeds. And that's in regard to that, we have the phrase, Tov Shein Mishemen Tov. Okay, after the breath. So why are we told who these people were? The Hodiya HaKotu. The Pasuk describes these people in the following, in that way, in order to inform you, as Hama Higiya Toach Divrei Nirgon Shel Torah Chosen Ve'aviro. In order to show you how these people were influenced by the mischievous machinations of Korach. To get these people to stand up to Moshe Rabbeinu and say what they did, they had to be, as they say in the classics, under the influence. Ad shilakocho leiv anshei mala halolu. You now understand the greatness, the astuteness, the cleverness, the subtlety of Korach, who is able to encourage these men to rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Shemitzad hasvora lo hayu reuyim lavo lidei midazu. Because all logic should have dictated that these are not people who are going to come up and say, Lemoshe v'yaro nomos is nasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you glory yourselves over the Jewish people? To get these people to say something like that, as they say, dos daf menkev. Why? Himitzad yehoyu nisiyei eda. First of all, the people involved are themselves manige ador. They are leaders, right? And every leader knows that you're going to have leadership qualities. You can't be a nebuch and lead. To be a talmid chacham, you need a brain. To be a yirich shamayim, you need a heart. To be a leader, you need a spine. You can't come to people, mechka pechka, if you want to say them in the Bible. So these are people who know what it means to lead. You cannot be ambivalent. You've got to be decisive. The imkei lo hoyol ahem nishbotis Moshe v'yaron limis nasim shelo l'shep shemayim chas v'sholom. So they should not have come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, why do you glory yourselves over the people? Because leaders have to lead. Furthermore, another reason why they shouldn't have said it is because they are kriyei moed. And they are people who sit down together with Moshe v'Yaron. And they know, on those occasions when Moshe and Aaron sit down with them to debate on matters concerning the future of the Bnei Yisrael, they know how humble Moshe and Aaron are despite their greatness. And no right to say that to them. Furthermore, and from the point of view of the fact that they were anshei shem, they should not have said it. Why? The ein ish ef rossi motzeh pevel oshon lahagid lemisha godl mimenu madu atisnasu afilim hoyakin chasasholem. Because people who are anshei shem don't talk like that. People who are anshei shem, whatever interpretation you give it, of the two interpretations I've given, says the Netziv, either they are men of note, or they are men of maisim tovim. You don't speak like that. Lomotis nasu. It's a vulgarity. It's not appropriate to these people. Zehu midas pechusei erech. And this is a quality which is only, as it were, found amongst people of inferior worth. V'chol apogum togem. As the rabbis say, it's only people who are themselves blemished who can catch that type of blemish. So therefore, imitzad yiras Hashem, they should not, even from the point of view of Hashem, they shouldn't have come up and said these things to Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can see how insidious Korach worked on these people until all was confused in what Korach spoke to them about, and he influenced them so greatly that they were able to come to Moshe and Aaron and to speak to them as they did. So the Netziv is very anxious to point out to us, and we need to be confirmed in this from time to time, that Korach is not your average individual. Korach is a man of enormous ability. And for sure, whatever his motives may be, he was a man who had to be stopped in a most melodramatic fashion. which seems to indicate that he had made great inroads on a people. And even though the Ramban has pointed out that his timing was good, because it's just after Moshe Rabbeinu had announced to the Bnei Yisrael that they're not going to win to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be wandering for 40 years, and timing is everything, but nevertheless, it still leads a man of ability to almost pull off Chas V'Sholom, but he almost managed it. Okay. Now, in reality, I'm not going to go through the other Mari Makom that I have in the Meshech Chochmah, but it is very important to point out. And it is something that Meshech Chochmah says, and interestingly enough, the Netziv himself confirms. We have to make a distinction between the Korach, Dothan, Aviram, and Own Ben Peles, although Own disappears very, very soon from the scene. We have to make a distinction between Korach, Dothan, and Aviram, Lechud, and the 250 men who are joined with him. Because even though the 250 who joined with Korach appear to be his cohorts in this particular campaign, in reality we will see that they themselves entered into this particular confrontation because they had a genuine desire, perhaps maybe Ulai Epsher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose them to be in place of the Kohanim. That was their whole ambition. So much so, as Meshech Chochmah points out to us at the end of this lengthy column, they used their machtos, their pans, for the Ketores, which was to be the korban, or the test by which it would be proven whether they are indeed fit or not. These 250 men died. But as we see from a pasuk later on in the parsha, the machtos, the pans which were used by them for bringing the ketoreth, became later on a covering for the mizbeach. Because what they did l'shem shamayim. And fascinating it is, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Korach, Dothan, Aviram, and the 250 men take ketoreth, Korach does not. Korach refuses. And that is why, if you look later on in the Sidra, you will see that it is only the 250 men who were involved in bringing the Ketores. In fact, as the Meshech Chochmah says, and so subtly, there is a psychological drama here. Moshe Rabbeinu says the test is going to be through the Ketores. And then 250 men immediately start running for their pans and the Ketores. Says Korach to them, he starts to make fun of the 250 men. You are coming here together with us in order to challenge the integrity and authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why should he be allowed to dictate the terms? Why should you automatically defer to him and say, oh yeah, you want to test through the Ketores? To be a test through the Ketores. So Korach refuses to have anything to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. He refuses to allow him to dictate the order of prayer. It is only the 250 who take it. And that is why, again I mention, even though Korach has influenced them to rise against Moshe Rabbeinu, but not to rise against his authority as Dafke, but to rise against his authority in the hope that what will be achieved will be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that they are indeed more worthy to serve him than those who have been elected up to now. Let me then, just before we close this particular episode, let me, however, refer you to a very, very fascinating observation by Rav Elva Brisker. When Moshe Rabbeinu summons Dothan and Aviram, as we have it in Pasuk Yud-Meis, by Yitzlach Moshe Likro L'Dothan V'Aviram, by Yomru, and they said, Lo Na'aleh, we're not coming up to you. Right? Go on then to Pasuk Yud-Aled. Lo Na'aleh, we're not coming up. A repetition. Pasuk Yud-Meis, Lo Na'aleh, you want us to come? We're not coming. Pasuk Yud-Aled, Lo Na'aleh, we're not coming. Why do we need a repetition? Fascinating. Let me read the Revel. Why would Dothan and Aviram say twice, lo na'aleh? Says Revel, of course this is the way Brisk traditionally answered all questions. V'yavur ha'dover al-pimah de'isha b'mech gemorah z'vachim v'ramam hilchit feitha b'chila. The answer will be, bearing in mind what the Gemara says and what the Rambam rules, Dila Moshe Rabbeinu Hoya Din Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu indeed had all the trappings of Melech. Vayehi Bishurun Melech. Melech is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a king in Israel. That's number one. V'chein Hoya Hanasi V'rosh HaSanhedrin. And he had another role. He had a role as head of the Sanhedrin. So, V'sholach Likro Osam V'tonas Beistin. And when he sent to summons them to come to him, he was summoning them as the Rosh Beis Din. How do I know, says Rav Belville? Because the Gemara in Moed Katan says, Oh, my Rava, Rava says, Minolon de Meshadrin Shiluchah de Veidin and Mizamnin and Leiladina. How do you know that the Beis Din has got to send a delegate who is to summons the parties to the Beis Din? Because the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Moshe Likro Lidoson V'Lavirom. So Moshe Rabbeinu sends a message to these people to come, and according to the Gemara, he sends it as the head of the Sanhedrin. Okay. Dim kein hoyu chayavim bichvodo v'lishmo v'kolo. So therefore they are entitled to listen to him for two reasons. Number one, they should listen to him because he is the Rosh Beis Din. And secondly, they should listen to him because he's a melech. So the next paragraph, Lefize meduyek heitev ma'akshe hishivu dosen v'aviram. First of all, they said, Lo na'aleh, we're not going to come. That's Pasuk Yud Beis. They had been summoned as a head of the Sanhedrin, and they said, we're not coming. But then they went on to say, Ach lo el eretz avat cholavu devash heve yosanu, vachiten lonu nach lasod vachorem. All of a sudden, in mitten derinu, they said, we're not coming, that's Pasuk Yud Beis. And then they go on to say, you know what? You haven't brought us anywhere nice. You haven't given us vineyards. And you've done nothing for us. That's why ach lo el eretz avat cholavu devash heve yosanu is put in between, in order to say, and even had you wanted to send us a summons as a king, we refuse. So here you have a very beautiful explanation of the dual themes in this particular act. We now come to some very, very fascinating material. And I do sincerely hope that these are matters that will be received favorably, because they are mare makomos which are too important to be ignored. You see, the episode of Korach is a sugya of machlokas. That's what it's all about. However you want to color it, whatever you want to say, the subtleties, at the end of the day, it's a machlokas. And indeed, the rabbis tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Omar Rav, in the name of Rav, Kol ha-machzik ha-machlokas, a person who foments or who prolongs a machlokas, Ove Velosate transgresses a negative commandment, and that negative commandment is the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, Let no man be like Korach and his congregation. According to the Ramban, the Nachmanides, it is in fact one of the Tariag mitzvahs. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is the actual syntax of that particular Pasuk. Because if you look in the Chatam Sofer, you will see there that the Pasuk reads, "Velo yehiye ketorach v'chad also." Follow carefully, please. Devorim ha'omdim berumo shalolom. Let no man be like Korach v'chad also and his congregation. Kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe lo. As Hashem spoke to the hand of his of Moses to him. Never saw that expression in my life. And what's it got to do with Belo Yekikur of Ashadu? Says the Chatam Sofer. The evening is yet young. Hine at orozu shelo nachzik v'machloke shelo yihye odom kekorech v'chadu. Everybody knows that. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. A person is not allowed to foment or perpetuate machlokas, because then he transgresses below Yekakur Bechad also. Says Chatam Tu. Vihine. יש הפרש בין מחזיקי המחלוקת של עכשיו לצורך וכענותו. The big significance, a big difference between those people who perpetuate machlokas nowadays, end of the 18th century, and those days of Korach and Agosto. Why? Yehame, because in the case of Korach v'chadoso, hoyu nechlokim al Moshe v'soroso. They said Moshe Rabbeinu was no good. The Torah is no good. So those are the people who had a machlokas in the day. They had started a fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they fought against the Torah. The Torah is a chornish. Right? Over the Hame shall achshav. The people who start machlokas and going nowadays, they say in the course of their arguments on the contrary, Shosim came L'Shem Shemayim. They're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. U'moshim pesukim v'halochos v'talmud v'shulchan aruch. And on the contrary, they bring proof to their side from Torah. U'moshim pesukim v'halochos v'talmud v'shulchan aruch hamorim. And from these sources, they find an indication Shem mitzvah lachlot al plonim, that not only is their view right, but it's a mitzvah to fight with the other side. Ola most throughout its vol michmor, or to get him put in jail. Buchado. Vinimsa. So therefore you'll say to me, Einenu over alav zeh. There you'll say to me that the people who go into machlokas nowadays, they are not transgressing the mitzvah. Ve'yelo sa'asev lo yekakur v'chad oto. Sha'arei einok a korab. Because they're not like Korach, they say. Ki Adonab on the country, Kavar Ramas Hashem Olav L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Mesayr Oso. Shako Yehiyah Kamoshe who's over on the country. On the country, the person says like I say. See, that there's no Pashuk. For the people who call Mephach Lokas nowadays, no, maybe there's no Pashuk. Cut the Pashuk. So happens the Pashuk goes like I say. And on the contrary, because the potter goes like I say, it's a mitzvah to be right of everybody who says otherwise. Af ato emorlo, says the chatam sober. Say to the person who believes in going to war because he believes his pshat is right. Say to him, v'chitov ato mi Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol. Are you a greater man than Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, who argued with the Chachomim in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes of his base, and even caused the walls of the base of Meri to quake in order to confirm that his view was right? Is your logic and your understanding of the Potter greater than his? The Kavonotach HaYosher Ritzuya Mimenu? And is your Kavon in the Shem Shemayim greater than Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol? Uvachol zos lo hoi lo, and at the end of the day, Rabbi Eliezer's confrontation with the Chachomim had gone ishal. Because all, not only what he refuted on that halacha, but the Gemara goes on to say that all those people who had previously acted in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer in declaring these various items to be Tahorim, they had to burn them all. And at the end of the Omid, if you look in Nun Tes Omid Beis after the entire episode, Rabbi Eliezer was put in Chayrem. And Rabbi Akiva took Kishem to tell him he's in Chayrem. So Rabbi Akiva put on black robes and sat down on the ground beside him. And Rabbi Eliezer got the message. But he got all the tzoris that he got. Because even though you feel the halach is like you, but to use the halach in order to go to war is out of the question. Afilu l'shem shamayim. Now look what this man, Reb Moshe Sofer, see what he does with the pasuk. V'zeh she'omar. My friends, look at the pasuk. V'lo yiyeh kekonat v'chon v'dosan, that's the first lozase. Never be involved in an argument which is the type of Korach v'chadoso, rise up as Korach did and his edot. And then there is a lo yihyeh goes on the second part of the book. V'lo yihyeh, and never be one of those people who is of the opinion, kasher diber Hashem v'yad Moshe lo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write in the Torah exactly like I said. In other words, shat in the pasuk is only like I said. Velo yase atzmo, a person should not make himself, ki ilu diber Hashem besorotso, b'yad Moshe lo, hu ba'aburo, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken only to him, and only on his behalf, lame over, as if they say to him, Uncle Hadin, this is the only way, for halacha kamosh ani choshev, and the halacha is like I say, oh mitzvah near Jofu lahatik, and it's a mitzvah that takes away people who say otherwise. Cholila, no siye kodos. Cholila for something like that. It is as big an avera for a person to be like Korach v'chadot, and it is an equally grievous and heinous crime for a person to say that the halacha not is like me. The halacha is only like me. And anybody who says different to me, it is a mitzvah that they from the Torah for me, by your dove, and you have to pursue him, etc. Cholila, lo siye, kozos pis. There are different halachic opinions. Different halachic opinions has to live side by side with the iter of causing machlokes. How does it do it? The good cash. I refer you now, my friend, to a Mishnah in Sukkot. A person is sitting in a sukkah, and his head and the majority of his body is in the sukkah. The shulchan over so chabayis, but the table on which he's going to have food, the table is in the house, not in the sukkah. They shamai say that's not a kosher sukkah. Why? As the Gemara explains, Shemo Yimoshech Achashulchano, less than eating, he might stretch himself over outside the sukkah. So Beishamai says, no good. Ubeisileil machshivim. And Beisileil says, the sukkah is perfectly open. Hello, machlokes, Beishamai amitim. Omru lohen Beisileil Beishamai. Beisileil said to Beishamai, we want to prove that you're wrong. We want to recall to your mind a famous event. So the elders of the house of Shammai, the elders of the house of Hillel went, they went to visit this notable gentleman of Yochanan ben Achoroni on Sukkot. And both of these camps discovered him. And they saw him sitting there with his head and the majority part of his body in the sukkah, and shulchan b'sukkah and his table in the house. Says Beis Hillel, v'lo omru lo dover, and they never said a word to him. Beis Shammai was there. Beis Hillel was there. Beis Hillel said, we went to Laal. The gentleman was sitting, and you think it's no good, and nobody said a word. Omru lo hen Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says to the Beis Hillel, Yishom Raya. On the contrary, from that episode is indeed a confirmation of our view. Why? Because our tradition is Apeim Omrulo, because the Zikne Beshamai who went to visit this man in the Sukkot said to him, Im Kein Hayisa Noeg, if this is the way you've been conducting yourself every Sukkot, like Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkot Miyamel, you've never kept a Mitzvah Sukkot in your life. Submission Sukkot. Gemara Barakas, Judith Alephu. And I learned that I don't know how long I'm any time I learned Gemara Barakas. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't somebody telling a lie? Beis Hillel says we went to the sukkah together with Beis Shammai. Nobody said a word. Beis Shammai says, "Mum gezuktin tatnarai." They told him, "Kelei tanaig." They kiyantam itzat sukkah miyom echa. Somebody got a hearing aid problem. That is a marvelous thing. There is a safer called Mole Rotso, authored by Reb Naftali Mibar Maiza, written about 500-700 years ago. Said Reb Naftali Mibar Maiza, Elu vi Elu Divrei Elechim Chayim Beit Hillel is right, and Beis Shammai is right, the old Rebbe story, everybody. How come? Says Reb Naftali Mibar Maiza, when the Ziknei Beis Shammai and the Ziknei Beis Hillel came to visit in the sukkah, they were sitting together with the Balabos, and the Balabos was conducting himself like Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, we don't hold that. You don't hold that well?
Thank you very much indeed.
All the people do. So while you're in their company of Beit Hillel, you keep quiet. Beit Hillel were the first people to leave. When the Zikne Beit Hillel had left the Sukkah, the Zikne Beit Shammai said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni, you don't mind me saying to you, but this is not the way you conduct yourself. You should have a table in the... You are asking me, how do you reconcile Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim with the Israel to go to war? The answer is that you have another opinion. You respect the fact that there are other people who have a different opinion. And Beit Shammai can sit down together with Beit Hillel and they can have a lekach and a cup of coffee and they can schmooze about everything in the world except the Mishnah and Sukkah. And then, if you have an opportunity, when there are no people who are going to start a machlokas, you can say to the Balabos, you know, you invited us, we feel it is our duty to tell you. Now, I don't need to tell you what the modern ramifications of this particular matter are. There can be two opinions on any halachic topic. And the Chatam Sofer says, Cholilo, Losia Kozospi is Toev. That the fact that you have a different opinion in halacha is an excuse for going to war with all the chilul Hashem amongst goyim that it embraces. Very, very important. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are sitting together in the sukkah and they are friends. And if you don't believe the friends, look at the Gemara at the end of your home. They are friends. What has a difference in halacha to do with machlokes? When they came to the Prem Shulana Rebbe, that's all. And some people were happy with the Shochet. Ephesus, the Dikas Horea wasn't going so marvelously, but the half of the Kehillah were happy with them, and half of the Kehillah were not. And what do they do? And the Prem Shulana Rebbe replied, the questions of the Dikas Horea that you brought up to my attention are in Yonam de Rabbanon. Machlok is the Nitzah of the Yeraisa. There's no question. Leave it alone. Machlok is the Yeraisa. And you're arguing the Rabbana. The Hameven Yogi. Let's then conclude with a most fascinating extract from the Layman Haggadah. In the Hebrew, not original, but in the Hebrew. And I do it for a purpose. Meshech Meos Shanos Hagolos. During the centuries of our exile, Lo Hayu Chaserim v'Yisrael Anoshim v'Noshim Gedolim. We have had our share of the greatest and most lofty spirits. Abul Hagu'ula lo yachla lovo. But the Ge'ula couldn't come despite the existence of these people. Why? Mipenei haberivos shehirchiku ish meireyehu. Because of the arguments which have separated one Jew from another. Kitos uplogim. Hiru Tomid et Shalom Bene Agola. Different factions, different groups, they have disturbed the peace of our exile. Whether it was Tidukim, Baitusim, Minim, Taroim, Shaptonim, Eviu, Oson, Ubilbul, Ben Kehilos, Yaakov, the Arzos, Bezurehem. They have brought confusion and disaster amongst the congregations of Jacob. Abol Lorak Biglalni Gudim Ekroniim Gedolim. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Rabbi Meir Lehman Zatzal, that the group did not go to war over major issues. Elogam biglal devorim pechusei erech. They went to war over marriage. Sheheviu lescina uli elvinus, which brought hatred and blindness. Oy gam hayom od lo nihiyah yoshtato, and even today, 1831 to 1890, it hasn't improved. The fire of an argument is still blazing in all its glory. Approximately 100 years ago, Korach Limud HaTalmud Ben Yehudei Germania. The study of the Talmud began to flourish amongst the Jews of Germany. And at the same time, the famous, disastrous machlokas spread neged harav hagodol Rebbe Yonos in Eibishu, against Rebbe Yonos in Eibishu. Nitzigei Torah Hashem lochmu, the princes of the Torah of Hashem fought against each other. The Kamu Echad Neged Hasheni, and one rose up against the other. The Af Hishpilu Echad Et Hasheni, and one even diminished the other, degraded him. Ein Litzayer, we cannot possibly imagine. Kamo Hizik Horiv Hazeh, how much damage this argument did. The Gangoran and the argument itself caused Laharchik Et Hanoah Minimudah Torah, to distance our young people from the learning of Torah. Ein l'tayer, we cannot imagine, hamozef oga v'yirat shomayim, how much this machlokes has damaged yirat shomayim's cause. Hoya solonu owed his damnus l'shmo al-kach v'b'nei hador. I can tell you I even had occasion to listen about this argument from those people who lived there. Shehoyu edim l'machlokes hados, who were witnesses at that time. Yesh l'hitztayer admiyo. We have to trouble ourselves and to be saddened so great. Segam vein Yehudim ha-charedim, that even amongst the Charedi Jews, sholetim riv humitza, quarrel and strife abound. And then comes the most awful thing. Halayla hazeh kulo mitzvah. This night of our exile is one long machlok. Zeh maris et leilav. This lengthens the night of our. My friends, I think it is important to mention to you, and I don't want you to take it in any other way than a statement of fact. This entire section that I have read out for you in these closing moments of the Shiur appears in the German edition of Lehman Haggadah. In the Hebrew edition published in 1967, this entire section was omitted. The section that I have read out for you is a Hebrew translation from the German, which appeared in a journal, Hamayan, in Tof Shin Kaf Tet, 1969, 2 years after the appearance of the Haggadah. The Halo Dovot. Something well worth thinking of. Unfortunately, we cannot, as some people suggest, we cannot rewrite history. If we are not able to live with the fact that we have committed my mistakes, then there can never be any possibility of improvement. We would like HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do with a lot of things that happened to us in the past, as they have done with this. But you can't do it. We cannot rewrite history. And we're speaking amongst ourselves, and I'm not concerned with the wider community. I'm talking about amongst ourselves for the Shiur. Sometimes we say a pshat, sometimes a rashi, a gurari, a ramban, and Ibn Ezra. On other times we bring Mari Makomos, which remind us, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. This is what this man is saying. And he is a gentleman who is considered precious and revered enough to have most of what he has written translated not only into Hebrew but into English. Why can we not stand erect and face accusations which are speaking to us in tones which are crystal clear? This is the problem. It goes from the Chasam Sofer, it goes down to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the mission is not only a pshat in Sukkot. That's the board. It's a pshat in how you live halachically, not how you live politically. If you live according to halacha, you can see somebody who's eating in a sukkah which does not conform to you, but you keep your mouth shut. If you're a halachist, you keep quiet. If you're a politician, then you do make every noise that you can make. That is what is happening here. Tragedy is that what should have been halacha became halacha plus politics. And these are Mari Makomas, I respectfully suggest, after all, we come to the Parsha of Korach, these are items that we have to retain in our minds. If the Chasam Sofer can say, Cholila Losia Kazos B'Israel, he's a man who knew what was going on. And a man who was very well aware of the fact that there were people who argued with him. But argument and difference in halacha is one thing. Going out to war and machlokes is something else. And the Rav Lehman's words, I'm not going to go over them again.
the goddess has gone on and on and on, and as far as he is concerned, there is only one cause, and maybe this is the week to think about these particular matters.